over here.
Have you guys played tennis before?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What would we say, a 24-hour period?
72-hour period?
About okay. 3 weeks.
I could get at least 1 point off of Alcaraz.
Yeah. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Alcaraz, 1 point.
No chance.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Maurice Jones-Drew, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Coming up, quarterback consultant Jordan Palmer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed it is. It's hour number three of the show. Great conversation with Maurice Jones-Drew in hour number one when we also gave our Thanksgiving food hot takes. And the phone calls have been lit ever since then, and we're thrilled about it. We're about to take some more phone calls in a second. In hour number two, great chat with Bruce Feldman. Also, the only thing better than my chat with Bruce Feldman was my accurate power rankings I delivered at the top of hour number two. If you missed any of that, stay tuned, because we re-air on the Roku channel as soon as this is done. And there's also our YouTube page for all of our clips, and we're so thankful for, you know, we're closing in on, 650,000 subscribers
we'll
there?
Probably hit that
we
in
could
the next
see,
couple days.
We could see it. We see it. We greatly appreciate all of the patronage of people who listen to us, and then there's our podcast version of this show. All 3 hours are placed in front of your podcast viewing or listening pleasure. Same thing with Overreaction Monday, every single Monday. What the Football with Steve Mariucci, the guest of Amy Trask and Susie Schuster on Tuesday. Please get that wherever you get your podcasts. And that includes all 3 hours of this program. We greatly appreciate it. Everyone's paid. We're thankful for it, as we would say. Jordan Palmer is joining us in about 20 minutes time to talk about C.J. Stroud's remarkable ascension in Houston. He is also the throwing coach for Jake Browning. And what a story in Cincinnati. They're 5-5. Joe Burrow, poof, Jake Browning in. And I'd love to know what he knows about this kid, because the Bengals have a ready-made team right now. And, you know, just give me, 80% Burrow, right? 100% Browning, 80% Burrow. If that's what we got, who knows?
They're taking a run, yeah.
They're taking on the Steelers. It's going to be a fun weekend of football. And then, of course, Tom Brady saying there's mediocrity in football. That quarterback position, I think, would be front and center for that subject matter. Lots to talk about with Jordan Palmer. It's going to be a great chat. 844-204-RICH, number to dial before we get to what's more likely, Thanksgiving version. Jimmy in San Antonio, everybody, our longtime friend. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey. ¿Qué pasó, hermanos?
What's up?
Hey. How you living, bro?
Well, let me tell you, my backhand is strong, and it's definitely two-handed.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
My old tennis coach is Tim Dirk. He was the original Spurs Coyote mascot.
Oh.
He taught me two-handed backhand.
All right. That's quite a Mad Lib, Jimmy. Didn't expect all those proper names, but okay.
Well, you respect the verbal.
Okay. I do. What's on your mind?
Now, first, I want to give you a compliment. Rich, my man, you're a solid 7 in El Segundo. Solid 7.
Thank you very much. Love I'll it. Take it. I'll take it. Thank you. And?
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Same to you, Jimmy.
You know, thanks for taking my call. I've never told you that before, and there was a reason. I was just being rude. Sorry.
No problem.
But thanks for taking my call, guys. And I want to wish you all the best. Del Tufo, your audio grab, that was so timely and awesome. He's not paying.
Thank you.
Yes, he's not. He was not.
What are you looking at right now? What are you looking at?
What were
you?
Days like a buffalo.
I was getting it for you. I was getting it for you, Jimmy.
Oh, my God.
Goodness gracious.
Well, guys, have a great weekend.
You too,
bye,
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Adios. 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 Let's go to Martine in New York. What's up, Martine?
Hi, Rich. My name's Martine, and I am a new fan. The gentleman I spoke to before getting on the air with you, and thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Told me that what I had to say was, I said, is this good enough? He said, go with that. Go with that.
And okay.
This is
so what you're about to say, Martine, what you're about to say was Adam Chudwin approved, our call screener.
Okay. Well,
okay.
I'm glad Adam Chudwin approved me.
Okay.
Tell him thank you. I started watching football in July because I watched Quarterback on Netflix.
Okay.
And it consumed me. And I turned into a Kansas City frigging fanatic. Rich, I watch YouTube clips, specials all day long. I watch you now because I discovered you on YouTube. I know more about football than my kids do. I've read Football for Dummies. I watch every game. I could even pick out what the defense is going to do, like Patrick, before they do it.
I love it.
Which is kind of a little bit of an exaggeration. But I just wanted to thank you because you're my favorite. You're right up there with your Nick Wright is almost as much fun to watch as you, but I have you at number one.
Martine, I appreciate that. I greatly appreciate that. And, you know, and it's you know, you chose wisely. Also, I'm sure, you know, you're in New York. There's not a lot of options at quarterback right now, but you chose wisely by rooting for Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to enjoy most of the times you root for them. You know what I mean?
I am enjoying it. I'm just, from what I've watched and all the games I've watched and all the replays of everything, I know they're having a problem with the wide receiver, you know, Roman. Hopefully they'll figure it out. I know all the feedback I would get on that, but I love Dobbs. Minnesota is my second team because of Kirk Cousins being on quarterback.
Okay.
And Dobbs is like a Christmas present. He's such a cool guy.
Okay. And so does that mean you're just like Googling Marcus Mariota? Is it because that's the I think we're not seeing him anywhere.
Not on team.
I'm talking about Kirk Cousins was on.
Okay. Yeah, no. Mariota was the other quarterback on the Netflix.
But I watched the Minnesota Vikings because I like Kirk Cousins then when he got hurt and Josh Dobbs took over and I followed the story of, you know, Josh Dobbs being thrown around the league from team to team to team and then how they won the last couple games with the exception of the other day.
Okay.
And Josh Dobbs. And then two quick trivia things, and I won't keep you. When I was, I bartended my whole way through college, and I grew up in Rockland County, New York, which borders Saddle River, New Jersey.
Yep.
And my buddy was Lawrence Taylor for years. And
so how are you not into football if your buddy's with Lawrence Taylor?
Because I was a bartender party animal, and all the rumors were true.
You work at LT's? Did you work at LT's?
Yeah, LT.
I DJed there a couple times.
Oh, isn't this wonderful? Martine, thank you for the call. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Martine and Del Tufo might know each other.
They don't know each other.
You never know.
Martine, call back.
There you go.
Rumors were true, she just said.
Marcus Mariota is on the Eagles right now. He's the backup to Hurts. By the way, an outstanding backup quarterback. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Veteran. They lost Minshew to the Colts and they get Mariota. Great. You know who could have gotten Mariota? The Jets. Don't get me started. Friday's going to be long and not prosperous. All right. Let's do it. A Thanksgiving version of What's More Likely. Hit it.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, what do you have over there, Chris Brockman? What do you got?
All right. Quickie, not that long. Five topics here. Right. We got the Thanksgiving games and then Friday's Black Friday game.
Right, we're also going to do is another version of What's More Likely after class because we're off on Friday. We'll post it on Friday on our YouTube
stream. Yeah, for the whole weekend slate. Here we go.
We're servicing crowds.
7-3 road contender, most likely to get knocked off tomorrow. Niners or Dolphins? You don't know what you're getting out of Tim Boyle, Rich. I mean, have some confidence.
What's more likely is that the Seahawks beat the Niners.
No Kenneth Walker, banged up Geno.
I get it. Of course it's more likely that Seattle wins a division game at home with Geno and Zach Charbonnet. Get out of here.
Geno's banged up. I mean,
if I'm sitting here saying it's more likely that the Jets with Tim Boyle, with the offense still being the same coordinated offense that is as dreadful as it comes behind an offensive line that's as porous as any, you know, any piece of cheese on your Thanksgiving table. I don't know. I was trying to come up with another more traditional Thanksgiving food that had holes in it. Mm. You know, let's just say the Jets offensive line has more holes in it than a gravy boat. And there's two holes. There's the one at the top and there's the one that the gravy comes. All right. Anyway, I'm going with the Niners. It's more likely the Seahawks win. What else, Chris?
Never know. All right, wide receiver more likely to go off for 150 and a tutty, CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill?
Oh, I will go CeeDee Lamb. Hey, you know, I mean, the Jets defense is this past week in Western New York, notwithstanding, outstanding. And let's get Sauce, let's get Reed, let's get the rest of that secondary make or the defensive line causing Tua to have to hitch. And I think the Dallas Cowboys go off, quite frankly. I think this is going to be an ugly one.
Ooh, really?
I do. And all I know is that, you know, obviously I'll be very busy on Thursday. So what I'll do is I'll keep an eye on Magic Johnson's Twitter feed for the score. And, of course, context and how the score came about.
Of course.
What else, Chris? Magic.
Mount Rushmore. More likely to be the higher total. Times Sam Howell is sacked or total touchdowns in the Packers-Lions game?
Good one. I will go Sam Howell sacks.
Sam Howell not sacked as much as he was earlier in the year. The last three games, 3-4.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I'll do that. I have no idea how the Packers-Lions game is going to go. I mean, I got a little hitch in my giddy up there based on what I saw what the Bears did to Detroit and that Detroit needed to pull one out of its orifice.
Good moxie on the comeback.
What else, Chris?
More likely to be the high total, Tua passing yards versus the Jets or Heat-Knicks combined score on Friday. How about that? They're playing each other. Miami's playing
Do you want to tell me where the place where the Super Bowl is and there's no plaque or signpost for Mo Green, despite him creating that town, what the combined score and the estimation of those esteemed individuals
NBA
would be?
NBA totals have been around 225, 230 this year.
Oh.
Except for when the Pacers play.
I'll take the Tua passing yards. Yeah, I'll take Tua passing yards. But the Jets are going to hold him below 220?
I don't know. It's a good defense.
When are the Heat and Knicks play each other?
On Friday.
Oh, okay, very good.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Friday, both days. Hey. Miami playing in New York.
Isn't that great?
Both teams.
All the sports.
Well done.
Isn't that awesome?
I wonder if who went first? The NBA, I don't know who went first.
NFL, I think, announced the schedule.
What else, Chris?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever.
I'll take Tua passing yards. I'm genuinely concerned that Friday is just going to be blackout Friday for me.
I mean...
Yeah, it's be 5 o'clock. It's gonna be 5 o'clock somewhere really early for me out here on the West Coast.
All right, last one. More likely CMC, more total yards or Amon-Ra receiving yards?
Oh, this is my poker league fantasy football conundrum here.
This week.
These are the two of the gentlemen that have me 8-3 in that league.
Look at you.
Dominating. I don't hear a lot of chatter from my friends this year in the same way that I've heard it the last several years. I'll go CMC more total yards. I think they're going to have to lean on him. So that's where I'm going with that one. CMC total yards. Amon-Ra
receiving.
I know. I'll go. Amon-Ra's obviously somebody who's is terrific, a runner and pass catcher is CMC. I'll just, the math alone gives me the opportunity to get above Amon-Ra St. Brown's receiving yards.
Well, you know he's not coming out of the game. Kyle Shanahan refuses to put any subs.
I don't know. Elijah Mitchell got some run last week.
Yeah, first time.
I know. Great.
All season.
I need them both.
Good luck.
Thank you, sir. You don't really mean that, do you?
I mean, I'm not in your league, so
good.
You can win. That's cool.
Very kind. You're so kind. So that's a What's More Likely Thanksgiving triple header and Black Friday Dolphin Jet edition of What's More Likely. We're going to give you on Friday, you can check out our YouTube feed, a more traditional, if you will. Because it is a tradition, right?
Full slate
What's More Likely.
Full slate.
And that's when I'll also give my opinion on Michigan-Ohio State. I'm holding my powder at this point in time. I got things to say before that game. Let's take a break right here on our program. When we come back, Jordan Palmer, throw-in coach for so many, including, as you see on the screen there, Trevor Lawrence. What does Jordan have to say about Tom Brady's mediocrity thought? Coming up. All right, folks, let's talk about game time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big-time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time-consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories, wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. Back here in the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. Furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by as our friend Jordan Palmer, the quarterback guru and quarterback throwing coach, joining us once again here the day before Thanksgiving on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing great. I'm fired up for this slate of games this weekend. I don't know about you, but
I am.
I love that we got games typically on 3 days a week. This week we got them on four, so. The more the merrier.
That's right. That is correct. So I've got one on Saturday for college, Jordan, that I'm getting ready for that game.
Hey, I like Michigan in that matchup. I saw a stat that was, the team that rushes for more yards is like 21-0 or some crazy stat. So if that's the case, and the team that runs the ball better wins the game, then I like Michigan.
All right. Well, I mean, and I guess this Ohio State spot is a good way to jump off into our conversation about CJ Stroud and what we're seeing in this league from him and how remarkable he has looked for the Houston Texans. I had Kurt Warner on the show yesterday. I'm like, hey man, and all the tape that you're seeing, give me the quarterback that's seeing it the best and slinging it the best consistently from jump all the way to week 12. And he said Stroud. That was the first name out of his mouth. Why is it working so well for him, do you think, Jordan?
Well, I think it was a great situation. My co-host on my podcast, Kyle Allen, was the backup, ended up starting a couple games last year. So I'm very, very familiar with the state of Houston Texans football 12 months ago.
Yes.
So one, the turnaround in general starts with DeMeco Ryans and goes on the way down there. But I think adding a couple of pieces, on defense with Will Anderson, but Tank Dell in the third round, that's actually a guy because I've trained Clayton Tune out of Houston, so I spent a lot of time with Tank Dell. I told a lot of GMs, watch out for this Tank Dell kid, and I'm getting some texts every now and then. But I think it was just adding the right pieces to allow CJ to be able to have a very rhythmic passing game. And I think that's probably the goal of everybody, so it kind of sounds dumb to say, look, they want their quarterback to be in rhythm. Like, of course, everybody does. But they have the personnel to do it. And the way they've installed it, and it fits with him because that's a lot of what they did at Ohio State. And then the part of his game that's evolved probably, and I've been around CJ since he was like 16, probably faster than I thought it would, is his ability to buy time and create time and space. And so you're just seeing great movement by him, and he's just constantly remaining a passer. And he called himself a ball placement specialist going through the draft process. And so far, he has completely backed that up, whether he's on time or whether he's off schedule.
So why do you feel the opposite is happening with Bryce Young so far this year, Jordan?
I just think there's too much on his plate. There's obviously pressure from being the number one pick. That's nothing new. But there's just so many holes on that roster. And similarly to working with Kyle Allen and understanding Houston's what's going on in the building in Houston, I've worked with Sam Darnold, so I very well understand what's been happening in the building in Carolina. And it's not that they're missing a wideout. It's, you know, it's not that they're missing DJ Moore. There's just holes across the board. And you can go back to that draft a few years ago when they selected, you know, everybody on defense for the entire draft. And so I just think that there's a whole roster overhaul that needs to happen. And when that's the case and you got a quarterback that's not playing well and certainly not the first high draft pick rookie quarterback to have a bad rookie year. I mean, we saw this 2 years ago with Trevor Lawrence. But I think there's just so much on his plate. And the reality is his game is to not run around and create and solve all these problems at this NFL level when there's that many holes. So blame will be pointed at the coordinator and the head coach. But the reality is that roster is a long ways away from being competitive in this league, regardless of who their quarterback is. And the key thing moving forward, just like what happened with Trevor Lawrence, Trevor has a dumpster fire rookie year, all the Urban Meyer. And then the next year he was able to reset. It didn't matter. And they went to the second round of the playoffs. So, you know, Bryce having a tough year, even if it gets worse, I think it has no effect because of his self-confidence, because of how he carries himself and how he approaches the game. I don't see this lingering into his second year. It's just a really tough way to start your NFL career.
And let me keep picking your brain, Jordan Palmer, on your unique insight and a lot of things going on in the NFL right now. Josh Allen diagnosed for me what has been another interception late in year, but now a change at offensive coordinator that proved in just his first game with Joe Brady calling the plays to have a more efficient game, it looked like. What's your diagnosis of what's going on there with him?
Well, this was a pretty tumultuous offseason, you know, with the uncertainty of Diggs and last year was big, you know, just was tough losing Brian Daboll. And you can try and replace a great coach. You can try and replace a great player. But it's typically very difficult to do that when you have somebody who's elite in that role. Again, whether that's offensive coordinator or that's Matt Milano at middle linebacker, it's difficult to replace those things. But I really think that Buffalo is poised right now to go on a run. You know, we heard Josh on the sideline saying, "I'm back." And I don't know that it ever went away, but when you feel pressed, like you have to make a play, is when decisions that you want back end up creeping in. And I think those are behind him. And I'm excited to watch, you know, Josh, and I've been around Joe Brady a lot. You know, I've worked with Burrow for 5 years, so at LSU, and then he was with Sam Darnold in Carolina. And I think Joe Brady, one of the best parts of Joe Brady is he keeps things simple. He lets players make plays. He can call, I mean, LSU, and I know they had superstar receivers and the number one pick at quarterback, yes, but they ran four verts like multiple times a game because they weren't worried that the quarterback was just going to chuck it up in the air again. But let Joe Burrow work the pocket, make off schedule throws, or take something when it's there on time. And so I think if Buffalo heads in the direction of simplifying things and allowing some of these young players to play faster, you're going to start seeing guys like Shakir, who had a big game the other day, some random guys step up. We all know what Steph Diggs can do, but we're going to start seeing some more plays being made and the ball coming out of Josh's hands quicker and potentially Josh running the ball, getting back to the style of play that Bills Mafia loves.
But the whole idea that Allen had to do too much, that was supposed to be removed from his plate with the overhauling of the run game. I know Damian Harris got hurt, but, you know, Latavius Murray being there and Cook being the lead back, Dalton Kincaid being added in the draft because he's a red zone specialist. So where did some of the doubt just start to linger into a guy whose game is like all world? You could see it. Where did that come from?
Well, I think we all saw the Monday night game to kick off the season when Aaron got hurt and Josh turned it over and they lost to the Jets. But there was a patch there where Josh was playing really good football. I think he was still leading the NFL in completion percentage.
Yeah.
Whether he is today or was up until a week ago, it's the same thing. Either way, he's completing a lot of balls. But, you know, certainly when they can get under center and they can line up and run the ball effectively, which you can say about any team,
yes,
including your Michigan Wolverines, then you're in a position to, you know, force the defense to play the way that they don't want to play. They don't want to play single high and have to stop the run because it's going to be really difficult to cover Stephon Diggs. And so I think the more that they can get those chunk yardage, James Cook is coming around more. Latavius Murray's really just kind of old reliable. And he's just always there and takes advantage of opportunities. But I think this offense, if they continue to trend towards being able to run the ball effectively, also with Josh, they're going to get more of the one-on-one opportunities down the field for Gabe Davis and Steph Diggs and these other young players that are coming along.
Jordan Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show, quarterback consultant, QB Room podcast with Kyle Allen. And again, the Summit Tour, we'll get to that in a second. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show, another story that's come home to roost in the NFL, unfortunately for Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, that you have some unique insight in, is Jake Browning is about to get his first career start for a Bengals team that is 5-5, weapons galore, because this team was set up to win now in what was Burrow's last year of being an affordable on the salary cap contracted quarterback. What's your insight on Jake Browning for Bengals fans here?
Rich, I'm bullish on this. We can spend the next 10 minutes talking about how devastating it is for Joe, for the team, for the fan base. But I think everyone sees that the same way. It's just an awful situation all the way around for Joe, not being able to play a complete year due to an injury. But this past offseason, so I've known who Jake Browning was, but I didn't watch him a ton in college. And then, you know, he went undrafted. He wasn't in my draft group and didn't know what team he was on 2 years ago. I've been working with Joe for 5 years. And so after, you know, they got a chance to work together for 2 years, I got hit up by Jake this past offseason and ended up spending basically January to July with him. And, you know, it was almost week by week, I started going, wait a second, this dude's really good. Like, he can spin it, his movement, a lot of stuff that we work on, like, happened quickly. And then as I got to know him better and do a little bit more research looking back, I kind of looked at it through the lens of how I evaluate draft picks. So right now, like before we got on this Zoom, I was talking to an agent about a quarterback they're recruiting, but like this time of year, that's what I'm doing. And so I break everybody down on tape for the draft. I want to have an opinion and I can't wait until the draft. I got to do that in November and December. So I'm right in the thick of studying college guys. Well, when I looked back on Jake's career, several of the things that I look for in a quarterback, I saw in Jake. And one of them is, and this might sound silly, but at any point in this guy's career, was he like a baller? And I don't even care if it was high school. Did he like run around and make plays and like be the reason they won the game? Jake Browning threw 91 touchdowns his senior year in high school. That's a California State record at a good school in Folsom. So he was completely dominant in high school. And then you go look at Washington, great staff, some good receivers, all that. He's a four-year starter. I mean, he's almost a 4-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. He was offensive player of the year multiple times, won the Pac-12 two out of 3 years. Like, he was a great college football player, and he was making plays. And those receivers we thought were really good, guys like Dante Pettis, who got drafted in the second round, get to the NFL, and it's like, no, that's not what – they were really good college players, but I think Dante's on his fourth team. And so you go, well, wait a second, maybe a little bit more credit for Jake. And what I saw Thursday night when Joe got hurt, and just think about this happened to Zach Wilson week one. This happens when a guy gets hurt in the game, the starting quarterback gets hurt in the game and he's out for the year and you know it. There's this feeling as a backup, and I've lived it, where it's like, I'm not going in for the end of the game. I'm not going in to finish off the game. I'm the starting quarterback for the rest of the year as of this moment right now. That's a heavy – it can be exciting, but that's also a heavy moment. And what I saw Jake Thursday night in front of everybody on the road in one of the most difficult places to play, nothing changed. Similar to Joe, nothing changed. And just put a drive together, execute, use his legs, make some plays on the run. And then very telling, that touchdown pass he threw to Ja'Marr Chase, I don't know if everyone was watching at the end of the game, but it was like a fade, and then he turns over his outside shoulder.
Right.
There's a lot of names for it.
Yeah.
That is a throw that is 100% timing. That was the first time he'd thrown that ball to Ja'Marr. Because when you're the backup, you don't work things like that with the starting receivers.
Right.
So the first time he's attempted a throw that is 100% feel and timing, it went exactly where it was going. So I'm bullish on this. I think Cincinnati's offense is going to look really good with Jake Browning at the helm. And the other thing that backup quarterbacks sometimes do not are not afforded is when you take over for a bad team that's out of it, you get bad play from teammates around you. They're in it. Statistically speaking, the Bengals are in it, and both of his receivers are in a contract year. He is going to be playing with highly motivated teammates on offense and defense. So I think he's set up to have a very successful run here.
Wow. Jordan Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. You are going to be a popular man in Cincinnati with that opinion, but obviously you
maybe
we'll but see. It's very well founded. You know, like you're not just pulling a lot of stuff out of thin air right there. So let me just hit you with the Tom Brady statement this past week here, that there's a lot of mediocrity in football right now. And part of what he's saying, I think, is born out of the fact that we constantly see new quarterbacks in the NFL over and over and over again. There were 68 different starting quarterbacks in the NFL last year. Jake Browning, you just mentioned, who's got, as you said, a good skill set. Tim Boyle making his first start for the Jets. These are two new guys starting this week. It's going to be 52 different starting quarterbacks in the NFL this year. I kind of feel like you are not only getting kids ready to be starters, maybe in the pros, but you're getting backups ready because the kids are the backups now. It's not like folks like you don't really exist in the NFL anymore from your playing career, you know, with what I'm saying. So why is this happening? What's your two cents on why we're seeing this churn right now? And so many unready, if you will, green quarterbacks are getting in games in situations where teams need them to win playoff position contests. Jordan.
Well, I think Brady kind of referenced it. I don't have the quote memorized, but it was something around the lack of development.
Yeah.
And he was, I think, probably saying across the board, but certainly just on the quarterback side of things. But also, you got to go early in the process. And I had on my podcast, Dan Orlovsky came on a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that he had pointed out is he thinks there's a lot of lazy coaching going on, and lazy coaching or lazy development, either way. But what happens is, from, let's just say, a throwing mechanic standpoint, it is the furthest thing down at the bottom of the totem pole for coaches in college and the NFL. Because if you're a college football coach, you're an offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, let's say, which is really common, right? Whether you're the quarterback coach or you just have the clicker in your hand in that meeting, either way, you coach quarterbacks. Those guys, and a lot of the best coordinators in football right now, that's the setup. If you write down the list of everything that offensive coordinator in college needs to do over the course of a week, regardless of what time of year it is, fundamental mechanics of the quarterback is really far down the list. It's why there's an industry for guys like me, because if they have an additional hour, they're going to go watch tape, or they're going to DM a recruit, or they're going to do some media. Like, there's so much on their plate, and then they have constraints. It's not all their fault. They have constraints over how much time they can spend because of the CBA, because of, you know, the rules in the NFL, the 20-hour rule. So they're limited on time, handcuffed, so to speak. And of the list of things that they got to get done that day, mechanics just falls across. And I'm uniquely positioned to have this opinion because when I do draft prep, I'm also, another way to look at that is I'm getting that college's finished product. And this draft class all have worked with a quarterback from the 50th college and several schools multiple times, the last couple of Clemson quarterbacks. And so you have time constraints with NFL and college coaches and their ability to work on those things. Then you have no connection. The strength staff, the physical therapy staff, and the coaching staff, they're not coordinated or synced. So the quarterback coach doesn't really know what's going on in the weight room. And the strength coach who works with the quarterbacks, he's never been in the quarterback room. And it's not an indictment on one team. This is at 32 programs in the NFL and every college. Rich, the bulk of what I do now is consulting for colleges. I come in and I call it interdepartmental communications consulting. I coordinate those groups for people and come up with an actual development plan. So when Brady said that and it was on the ticker the other night, I took a screenshot of it and it's going in my deck because he's spot on. And this is a systemic problem. And the laziness comes because these high school kids are so much more developed coming out than they were before, that the mechanics slip through in college. They get drafted high. there's no time to work on those things. They just let the quarterback go in isolation and work with people like me, but then it's not integrated. And then all of a sudden, poof, throw them out on the field and we're going to judge you in real time in the moment. So it's just, it's a systemic problem. It's not an indictment on the coaches or any one person. It's an old way of thinking. And I think we're starting to have, I certainly am, have a revolution in terms of how we're looking at quarterback development.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm an owner in the league, I want to handle this problem.
I've got a big meeting coming up in 2 weeks.
What do you got?
Well, just in terms of presenting this to the owner, not to the office.
Okay, to an owner in the National Football League. Because you go, Jordan Palmer, because if I'm an owner in the NFL, I want to fix this problem. Because there, but for the grace of God, goes my team, and the way the cap is working, I'm not going to, you know, pay a veteran to sit there. I'll just bring in a kid and hope he's ready, you know, if I get there. And then I put the kid in, and he's unready, and I'm probably sitting there going, damn, we should have had the veteran. You know what I mean?
Well, there's also opportunities to find out, one, get experience for backup quarterbacks.
Right.
And two, find out if he should be your backup quarterback. So the LA Chargers is a perfect example right now. Okay. Uh-huh. I think that they have like a 2% chance of making the playoffs or something, right? They got Baltimore at home on Sunday Night Football. Set aside Brandon Staley for a second and yes, what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But let's say they, as they probably will, get beat by Baltimore. So now they're statistically removed from the playoffs. If I'm the Chargers, I need to figure out if Easton Stick is good or not. More than I need to win two more games. So let alone Justin Herbert's hurt. So one of the key decisions that I would, if I was sitting there talking to an owner, what I would say is you got 4, 5, 3, however many games left are at that point. This is a good opportunity to see if you should remain, if Easton Stick should be your backup, or if you should address this elsewhere. And it's not, if you ask me if I thought Easton Stick was good, I don't know. He's only played in the preseason, but you got a really good roster. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I would use this season, not OTAs, to see if this guy is my should be my backup, as much as extend him, or if we should move on. And so I don't think teams do a good enough job of taking advantage of getting a guy meaningful reps.
Right.
At the end of the game, I mean, I can go 3. I went 3 for 4 at the end of the game when we were getting smoked. But that doesn't mean I can start. And so I think teams whiff on opportunities to evaluate and get reps, meaningful reps.
I got it.
Backups.
I hear you, Jordan, but I the NFL should not have December. the product doesn't get better, right? If the Chargers are taking on a team, let's just use this as an example. I love this conversation. The Chargers have Buffalo, week 16 at home. And you're a team like Cincinnati, and you gotta get past Buffalo, or because you're trying to get past Buffalo. Buffalo's trying to get a playoff spot. And in this game, now they got to deal with Easton Stick instead of Justin Herbert. How does that make this product less mediocre? You know what I mean? Like the league should not be in a position of using actual regular season games at the ends of seasons to evaluate kids. Like maybe there's a spring league. You put money in a spring league. I'm not saying create another NFL Europe, because I know scouts don't want to and teams don't want to fly across the Atlantic to see their prospects. I don't know, the USFL, XFL, all that stuff. Like, let's go. Like, that's the way to do it, isn't it, Jordan?
Well, and I'm the executive director of quarterback development for the XFL.
Look at us.
Potentially both. There's a potential merger.
Sure.
With the USFL. And I think it's, you know, I can talk on and on about how great of a job they did there. But if I want to know, and we're just, again, talking about Easton Stick here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If I want to know that I can lose Justin Herbert and we're good, there's only one way to find that out. And that's starting an NFL game. So I hear you on the level of play, but they do this anyways. I've been on like a 2-14 team before. That rookie 6th-round pick linebacker is starting the last 3 weeks. They got to see if he's good or not.
Right.
Right. And even with, we saw it happen in Arizona. So the trade deadline came, they shipped Josh Dobbs to Minnesota. We all know that, right? Kyler Murray had been practicing, but wasn't ready to go 100%, whatever it was. So it was a perfect opportunity to put Clayton Tune in, the 5th-round pick rookie, and give him and see what it looks like. And so teams do this. I just think they need to have a focus on this season. At what point are we going to find out if our 2 is worthy of being a 2, and how are we going to get him reps that are relevant for games? And then there's teams where, no, guys played a lot. Like Josh Allen's backup, my co-host, Kyle Allen, I don't know, he's got like 20-something starts. They know what he is, you know? Mm. And then there's really good backups where we know what that guy is. I know what Jameis Winston is if he goes in the game in New Orleans. I don't need to evaluate that. But there are teams that have very green backups and game reps. Like, I spend the whole offseason doing drills with guys. It's helpful. But if you want to get good at quarterback, you need to play.
QBSummit.com. The 2024 Summit Tour has been launched. Quarterback transformative weekends for quarterbacks in middle and high school. 8 stops around the country, selling out fast. So go to QBSummit.com to get your spot. Great Thanksgiving to you, Jordan. I'd love to have you back on in December because I want to talk draft with you. That's when things really rubber is going to meet the road here. So let's do it. All right, brother.
Appreciate it. Happy holidays, man.
You bet. Same to you. That's Jordan Palmer right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Can you imagine if the Chargers going into that Saturday Week 16 game decides to use that game against the Bills as an opportunity to check on Easton Stick?
I mean,
can you imagine?
Are they out of the playoff hunt?
Just his scenario. Could you imagine if they did that? Bills need it. Other teams need the Bills to lose so they can get it. And it's Easton Stick. It's not Justin Herbert. They wind up blowing out the coach. The season's over. They need to see what they got for Easton Stick because it's better to see him get reps against the Bills for real than it would be to see what happens in preseason or in the spring. Really? Can you imagine what would happen? It would be off the charts.
Not ideal.
That's again, the not NFL ideal. Shouldn't be having using their regular season games like that to see if backups can work.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. TJ Jefferson is going to give you his fantasy advice going out the door for our Thanksgiving weekend.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
As it should. You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Game Time Tickets. There are sponsors of Overreaction Monday, this show, What the Football, and it's a great way for you to make sure that you get tickets in time for the holidays. Maybe it's a great present, great gift. Take your loved one out. Take the kids somewhere to a sporting event, to anything that's in your area, comedy, music, everything. It's awesome. Even not in your area. If you're traveling somewhere, go just put in, you know, where you're going and what you're looking for, and boom, out come the tickets, and so does the all-in pricing. That may be my favorite part about all this, is that when you go in to this app and you ask for, hey, the tickets in this spot, you get to see your entire pricing up front before you check out. It's simple. Go and download the Game Time app, put it on your mobile device, create an account, use the code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Takes the guesswork right out of buying tickets. Game Time. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. This is irrational thought on fantasy. I've got 4 players going Thanksgiving, and it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, right? They're going to play over the next 4 days.
Yeah, it's different.
It's just, it's so crazy.
I'm with you, though.
But it's irrational. Yep. Thankfully, we have the irrational voice of TJ Jefferson. It's now time for his weekly fantasy football update, sponsored by Prize Picks. TJ Jefferson, you have the floor.
Hey, let's get you guys ready for week 12. DJ Mikey D, give me my theme music. Oh, there we go. Listen, guys, at this point, your team should pretty much have come together and you're ready to make a nice little playoff run. So we're just going to throw some names out here that might be stopgaps for you. And as him this week, I got a running back from the Cleveland Browns, and that is Jerome Ford. I said Jerome's in the house. Watch your mouth. Look, the Broncos has been the Broncos defense has been better lately, but it's still allowing over 6 yards per carry since week 8. And Jerome Ford's averaging 11 points per game over his last three. Now, that's not, you know, incredible stats, but that's good enough to get you through a week. So I say if you have Jerome, feel confident starting him. I think he'll get the job done. Also, Brockman, believe it or not, you know who else isn't going to be him this week? I have a feeling. Your boy DeMario Douglas.
Ooh,
now, I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's the top wide receiver in New England for whatever that's worth. He scored 10-plus.
That's a gutsy play, pal.
It's a gutsy play, but he's seen a combined 23 targets over that time. And as we know, heavy targets mean there's a chance that you can put up points. True. And he's in a good spot to produce this week against the Giants over the last 4 weeks. Only the Eagles and Pats, believe it or not, have allowed more points to wideouts. So if you got DeMario Douglas, I'm going to tell you right now, I got a feeling he's going to be him.
It's called Zappy Crackle and Pop.
Right?
Who's not him?
Who's not him? Believe it or not, and you probably do believe it, with Aaron Jones, friend of the show out, I'm going to say A.J. Dillon. You think you want to put him in there, but A.J. just hasn't been getting it done this year, and the Detroit Lions have allowed the 6th fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs, and what's more, guys are averaging just 3.5 yards per rush against them. I don't want him going up against Aiden Hutchinson and the boys. I'm telling you right now, A.J. Dillon, he ain't him this week. And also Terry McLaurin. Maybe this is like, you know, personal. Maybe, you know.
Speaking in existence, TJ.
You know, the Dallas Cowboys defense is really good. Let's just say that. We're really good. And McLaurin, his longest catch last week was, I think, 11 yards. And prior to that, it was like 13 yards. I'm not expecting a big day out of Terry McLaurin. Guys, he's not him. Now we're going to get to the head or gut. You know who might be him? I was kind of thinking this, and Jordan Palmer kind of made me go, maybe.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I'm going to say Jake Browning.
Okay.
Quarterback, and here's why. As we found out, this man threw 91 touchdown passes in a single high school season. He threw 229 throughout his career, which is a record. And I tell you what, not one of those receivers he played for, Rich, are as good as Jamar Chase or Tyler Boyd or T. Higgins, who will eventually get back. So if you're in a predicament, if you're in a tough spot, roll with Jake Browning. I think he's going to surprise you.
Okay.
And that's the fantasy advice for week 12.
Well done. Our fantasy football update is sponsored by Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. And again, because I'm so nuts about, I've got Amon-Ra.
Sun God.
Kittle and CMC and Aubrey, the kicker for Dallas.
Those are four studs.
I know, I know that.
Four monsters.
But I'm like, that's four guys out the gate already. It's driving me nuts that it's make or break.
It's not like your one third game on Thursday.
So I might play Keaton Mitchell instead of Javonte Williams just to have a Sunday night. I'm nuts. Hey,
that's not a bad.
Thanks to everybody who is on the show today. We're going to stay after class and give you previews for Thanksgiving. That'll be on our YouTube page. The same thing with my Ohio State, Michigan preview and thoughts of what's more likely. Jake Butt of the Big Ten Network. I'm going to chat with him. He's raising money based off the big game. That'll be on our YouTube page on Friday. I'll also maybe do some videos based on the results of Thursday's games. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody who's listening.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.